It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m. and 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined now by Stephen Dinan, standing in a cornfield in Iowa, I guess, at this hour. Hello.
Close to a cornfield. I'm at a gas station just staring at cornfield, so not standing but sitting.
Very good. All right. That was a pretty good guess. All right. Gingrich came out last night, and the guy really took a lot of heat, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, just from two sides, from fellow candidates, but also from the panelists who clearly had him in their sights. The Fox News panel, time and time again, kept bringing issues back to him. And you know, it's interesting. Not a single retraction, not a single walk back. He stood by, and in fact, in a couple of instances, went further on just about everything he'd said, from curtailing federal courts by potentially abolishing those courts. To up and down the line. Now, the court thing was actually interesting. He sort of gave a little bit of a history lesson to, I believe it was Megyn Kelly was the Fox
News panelist
who asked him about that, and he said, "Well, you know, go back to Thomas Jefferson. Nobody complained when he did this back in 1802." Very, very interesting, and you know, that was definitely one of his stronger performances on that particular question. Yeah, the rest of it, you know, I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see how he came across for most Iowa voters. He certainly had an authority about him throughout the whole debate. I'm not sure that the answers necessarily settled things, in particular on his dealings with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Yeah, and Bachman went after him on that, although she agreed regarding the courts. But she was aggressive last night, and I guess she had to be.
Yeah, you know, it's one of these things where she and Santorum and Perry are all essentially making a stand here in Iowa, looking to gain any sort of traction they can. In fact, all three of them have, Santorum has been in the middle for the last few weeks of a long bus tour here. Perry has just begun one earlier this week, and Bachman began one here today. All of them are going to spend a ton of time here between, you know, over the next 2.5 weeks, hitting every single county and just about every single town they can, trying to win votes one by one. You know, and so this was their last, you know, in my article today, I believe I called it a closing argument. This is the last televised debate before the caucuses. This was their last chance to sort of, in an in-depth fashion, reach a lot of people. From here on out, they have two options, either reach the 10 or hopefully a couple dozen people at each of these stops in an in-depth way, or else run television ads, which can reach a lot of people in a completely shallow, superficial way. So last night was really a unique chance for all three of those guys, and the rest of the field as well, but all three of those guys, to make an in-depth argument to a broad audience.
Yeah. I noticed that Fox News last night called the winner Bachman and Perry. Perry, I mean, he managed to get a laugh, and I think he did a better job at that debate than he has in the past. I mean, the Tim Tebow remark was kind of funny. I don't know what the reaction was, you know, immediately in the audience, but I know watching it at home, I laughed out loud. Tebow, of course, is the Denver quarterback that's been responsible for all kinds of miraculous comebacks over the past few weeks, and I guess he wants to be the Tim Tebow, he says.
Yeah, you know, it's one of our other reporters, Seth McLaughlin, and I have sort of been waiting to see who would do exactly that, who would claim to be the Tebow kid.
Yeah.
And we're actually, you know, one of the interesting questions, we're actually trying to find out whether anybody's actually asked Tebow for his endorsement in the race, because he just, there's something about that guy, and I imagine something about that guy, and in particular the sort of evangelical Republican voters here in Iowa, there's probably a good overlap there, so we're trying to find out. But, you know, it's I actually don't know why folks thought Perry did well, other than maybe exactly what happened with George Bush back in 2000 when he'd done so badly in the first debate that expectations were low heading into the other one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, by comparison, People are, Rick Perry, people I think want to like the guy, and so he'd done so badly that people had a very low standard for him. I didn't think that he necessarily, he didn't necessarily acquit himself well on any of the policy answers. He didn't do badly, but right, he got a good laugh out of the Tebow line, so he probably left folks feeling okay towards him. But in terms of policy, you know, I think overall the debate actually lacked any real new ground on policy. presidency, which was surprising. You know, with a two-hour affair here and all these different issues, I actually thought that the moderators probably could have developed a few of these questions more. You know, at this point, we still don't actually know which one of the earlier debates got into this with a few of the candidates, but we still don't know what all seven of the guys on stage last night would do. Would all of them embrace an actual U.S. military attack to stop Iran from nuclear weapons? Would all of them back an Israeli attack to stop Iran? We don't know answers to those questions, and there's still a lot of area that these folks could be exploring that we don't know.
Yeah, well, the odd man out on national security is Ron Paul, and last night, once again, he exhibited times where he was absolutely on target, but as soon as he turned attention to foreign policy and the military, you could hear it in the crowd. I was live blogging here at the Washington Times website, and you could see the immediate reaction from the bloggers going, "Oh God, here we go. He's going into military and foreign policy."
Yeah, and I think that's. I guess I was actually surprised at how badly he did. To be very blunt, I was surprised. You know, at one point he's talking about quoting an Israeli official, I think it was Ehud Barak, saying he can understand why Iran wants to have nuclear weapons given who's surrounding it, you know, which made it sound like he was perfectly fine, Paul was perfectly fine with them getting them, essentially understood that and said, yes, they should. Later on, after some prodding, said, well, no, I don't believe they should, but it's unclear exactly what steps he believes he should take other than picking up the phone and asking them, in Mitt Romney's words about Obama and the drones, pretty please don't get nuclear weapons. You know, it's unclear where Ron Paul actually stands at this point. After three or four different questions, I couldn't tell you right now what Ron Paul's actual stance is. Should Iran have nuclear weapons? What action should be taken if they continue to go after them? So it's clear that his policy stance, his underlying philosophy is, we don't care. We should get out of all of that and hope for the best that they don't actually do anything. I don't know that wins over many voters, but yeah. You know, other than the core voters he has. So he obviously got a lot more time with that than he had in previous debates, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays with voters.
Yeah. Romney walked out of there relatively unscathed, I thought.
It was a very interesting strategy on his part. So for months he had done this routine of essentially ignoring his fellow candidates and focusing on Obama. Over the last few weeks, with Gingrich's sort of rise, he'd finally gone after Gingrich, and then last night flipped entirely back. He was given three or four different chances where the moderator said, "You've criticized Speaker Gingrich on this and this," but Romney took his answers and said, "I expect that Barack Obama will make those same attacks on me. Here's my response to them," and turned it all back to Obama repeatedly. So, right, he came out unscathed and went after Obama, that may be because we started to see a little bit of slipping of Gingrich in the polls, and Romney may see something there that he's done his negative work, and can now go back to focusing on Obama. I haven't been out in Iowa that long, you know, 48 hours or so, but I sort of get this weird sense that voters are just sort of, we're starting to see the Gingrich slide. It's not clear that anybody else is going to rise. I get this weird sense, and I don't have any reporting to back it up other than just sort of a sense, that we may be coming to the point in the race where everybody just throws up their hands and says, okay, fine, we've tried all these other guys. We're just going to stick with Romney and see where he goes.
Yeah.
And so I'll be very interested to see what he does on caucus night. But I get the sense that the fatigue with the rest of the field that we've known is out there throughout is finally setting in, where they're not really, really willing to try yet another flavor. They're just done tasting.
Yeah. All right. Very quickly, I only have a few seconds left, but we haven't touched on Santorum or Huntsman. What do you think about both of their performances?
Santorum, I thought, was actually very, very strong. You know, I'm actually surprised if he gets more air. If he could get more airtime, I actually think he would be the sleeper of the Iowa caucuses. Huntsman, I'm not sure why he was on the stage. He's not even trying for Iowa. You know, at this point, his audience is just a different audience, and I'm not sure that there are very many people in the Republican Party who are buying his message right now. The polls seem to back that up.
Yeah, it's almost as if he's just angling for something else, knowing that he can't get this.
Yeah, though I don't know what it is. I mean,
yeah.
if you annoy most of the Republican voters by essentially sticking your thumb in the eye of them, what position is left for you in the end? I mean, I'm sure there's an ambassadorship or something like that, but that's not really the sort of guy who ends up as your Secretary of State if he spent the entire time saying that the rest of the field is wrong and too angry.
Very good. All right, Stephen, thanks for the update. Enjoy your remaining few minutes at the gas station before you start back to Washington. Stephen Dynan of the Washington Times in Iowa.